Hello, welcome back to the Mr. Arsenal podcast for another catch-up reaction to the weekend's events. And I think a lot of us are still in a very happy celebratory mood, if you will. By the way, guys, just before we get into it, have you got your cameras ready for Jamie Carragher? I know, we all know he does a good camera and all that, and get the angles and all, so I just wanted to make sure I've got mine. Got mine ready. Not yet at the go. But as you can see, we are joined by Liam and Melvin this week. How are you doing, guys? And have you both recovered from yesterday? Because I know you're both at the game.
Yeah. Good evening, gentlemen. Yeah, it was great. I mean, we've had these mad Arsenal victories at the Emirates where the crowd up go berserk. And we come away thinking that was fantastic. And Mork getting more and more every time. It used to be once in a season. It was like never in a season for the last like 10 seasons. Now it's about, so many home games, you're getting about 10 times now. It's amazing. And it just, the place rocks. Never thought I'd say that about the Emirates. But over the last few seasons, the place has begun to rock. So I just hope they put a lot of foundation in when they built it.
I hope so by now. He's what, 17 years old nearly.
Oh, phenomenal.
But like you say, they were like once in a blue moon, like the odd big game win against Chelsea or something. They'd get rocking once, as you say, one season if you're lucky. Now it's like a regular occurrence. It's like that saying about buses, you wait ages for one and it all come along at once. But we're not complaining because, hey, it pisses off the media, it pisses off the rivals. So. It goes to show, if the foundations are in place and the right people are at the helm and everyone gives a shit and the right players are there, we can get that place can be rocking week in, week out. Also, Liam, how are you doing? As I say, how's your back, by the way? Because every week now, since you've gone back, me and Gary are concerned about your back.
Yeah, well, obviously, firstly, good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, Mel. How are you doing, mate? And good evening to everyone out there. So good evening to everyone. But how's my back? Yeah, my back's all right. It's my ribs. Yeah, I think
as well. You're laughing too much, were you?
I wish I was at the end of it. I was laughing at the end of it. I ain't gonna lie. I weren't laughing during the game, especially in the 48th minute. But yeah, like you said, Melvin, I think, yeah, I used to go to the Emirates, we'd be lucky to get that once, two seasons. I think over the course of just the last year alone, I think there's been at least five or six of them kind of occasions now. And yeah, it was brilliant to see yesterday. And do you know what? I know we're going to talk about it in a minute, but fair play to the boys because their heads could have gone down at halftime and they didn't. Yeah. And we're back in the race at the moment, which is what we wanted to be, where we wanted to be today. So yeah, brilliant.
So, yeah, that was the thing going into it, doing the shows on your side of things, Liam, and all that. That's the main takeaway that we couldn't lose. The worst case, the bare minimum was we needed a draw to stay in, to keep it as it was. But the main pull away going into that game was we had to finish. If we can play like we did at the FA Cup, but finish our chances, we'd have a chance. And we put our chances away. Chances came, and we did what we did. Tom's trying to piss me off already in the chat. Thinking I haven't got my monitor up. I'm ready to go for second half. Looking bastards. And again, we're talking about man of the match as me and Gary last night at the end of the stream. You could have picked anyone for the man of the match. No one looked out of place. Even Yakko Kiwa comes on. And considering his last game was Liverpool in the FA Cup and what happened there, even he upped his levels and his performance was better as well. So we'll start with Melvin on this one. Going into this, Melvin, what was your initial thoughts going into it? Did you think we were going to get 3 points? Did you think it was going to be a draw or the worst?
Well, it's like a lot of games, isn't it? Your heart says, you feel something in your heart, but your brain says something else. And I said to my son, just before we kicked off, I said, you know what? I can't see us doing this, but the only hope I've got is that we could have a performance like we did at home to Man City. We beat Man City, why can't we beat this lot? Because no real difference there. And the performance, absolutely amazing. And just to go on about the half-time situation, everyone was at half-time. I went to concourse. Everyone was like shaking their heads, weren't they? They were just saying, what the? And it was like we were getting beat 3-0 at half-time. It really felt like that. We thought we've got to do it again. And I said, well, the manager's got to earn his call now. He's got to pick him up from the floor. Let's see if he can do it. And as it happened, the first few minutes of the second half where they looked like they were at Liverpool, they really looked like they did more attack in the first half, 2 minutes of the second half, than they did the whole first half. So, and then all of a sudden we grew into it again. But wow, what a performance. One of those performances, you never, one of those things that someone said, what's your favourite game is at the Emirates? That would be in the top, probably at top 20 now, because we had so many of them. You know, a few years ago, it would have been the top one stroke two. It would be Barcelona at home and then probably this one. Now there's so many to choose from. Brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a massive shout. That's a massive shout to what Arteta's, the job Arteta's doing, Edu, what people think about Edu and all that personally. And the Kroenkes as well. It's this collective work that got us to this point where the fact that most of us as fans, in terms of match-going fans in general, home and away, there's harmony now. There's not infighting and kicking the lumps out of each other like there was back in the day. And it's... it's just so good to see. And the years gone by, in a situation going up, we were going into yesterday, it would have been absolute pandemonium going into that. And then the players we had back then wouldn't have risen to the challenge and all that. A lot of props have got to go to this team and this manager for just digging in still and doing what they need to do, which was like yesterday, put a performance in. And actually, unlike the FA Cup, learn from the mistakes and put your chances when they come to them into that net, which they did three times, technically four. But the equaliser, that's because I was in Melbourne, you touched on it. When that went in, me and Gary here, we went from absolutely, you know what, best first half performance we've seen for a while. Nothing to complain about. And then suddenly out of nowhere, it just went a pop. And it was just like, what is Saliba doing? Then what is, when watching it back, why is David Raya hesitating coming out? And the one that scored the own goal, you got yourself sorry for, because he's literally trying to do his job, making sure that no one hits his hand and goes in. But to weather the storm after the first half, and then get that bit of luck that we got. I think once we got that goal ourselves, that bit of luck, there's only one winner, really. There's only one team that the momentum was completely swung then. But Martinelli, I'll touch on individuals here. Martinelli, Liam, what was your thoughts on his performance as a whole yesterday? Because I personally thought, again, one of his best performances this season. One of.
Yeah, there was some proper standout performances yesterday. I thought there wasn't one poor performance, if I'm being totally honest. I think there was a poor mistake, but there wasn't a poor performance. I thought the team done an incredible job over the 97 minutes yesterday. What Martinelli done well yesterday was that he seems like he's got his energy back. But it also seems to me, and this ain't just Martinelli, this is obviously looking at our other strikers, they're starting to score goals again. And we need to realise that in the last couple of games, Trossard scored twice. Martinelli's now scored three goals again. Saka scores yesterday and he scored at Forest. Jesus scored at Forest. So we're starting to score goals again. So the strikers are starting to get confident again. And if they keep delivering like that, we'll keep continuing to win games, because we've looked back at the season so far. And if we're being totally honest, the only game that I can remember that we 100% outright served to lose was Fulham away. Every other game has been quite contentious. It's been down to our lack of finishing. If these boys can get their mojo back, and we can get Martinelli and Saka scoring goals like they were last season, at the business end of the season now, then I think we've got a good chance of. I'm not saying we're going to win it, because there's a long way to go, but we've got a good chance of being in the title race for at least the foreseeable, and hopefully to the very end. But yeah, it's nice to see Martinelli back in form. But you know what? I don't know if you guys agree, but I've been quite vocal in terms of I wanted Havertz to play out top. And I think that his performance yesterday needs to be noticed a little bit. Yes, he's not going to score all the goals. But you know what? Yeah, right. He's very good at coming in a number nine role and deep coming into midfield. He basically got their centre back sent off and made the game more comfortable than us in the last kind of few minutes. But yeah, I thought he had a really good game. And I think there's the option now where sometimes we can put Jesus out on the left, have Martinelli on the bench in some games, have him come on with 30 minutes to go. There's so many options. I just think it's going to be around Arteta how he rotates that for the rest of the season, but also keeping them fresh, but also in form.
Yeah, definitely. And just as you're saying, it's now 2-1 Man City. Phil Foden acres of space, literally all the time in the world. His head's born in it, so it's 2-1 there. No,
let's not spoil it.
No, that's a thing. You keep that for everyone updated because they're in the chat doing. So, yeah. And that's going to be the big question for Arteta, how he gets the rotation spot on there. I know he's only league and Champions League, but the deeper we go in the Champions League, the tougher the opposition will be. And plus, it will be, no matter what, it's going to be sandwiched in between tough games either way, no matter what side of the draw we are on, respectively. But that's on him now. And I think, again, I'm sick of the party now. Like, in one sense, it's shown that yesterday that we're not relying on him now. We don't have to rely on him to still beat the big teams. We can figure out, we've got other ways and means, another formations and setups. I mean, again, Kai Havertz, some people were giving him a bit of a dig and all that after the game, still not to their standards, whatever. For me, again, one of his best performances yesterday was, and it's, again, playing the false nine. He was running the defence ragged. He got a player sent off in the end because of it. He was bringing the team into play, having the chances here and there. If it weren't for him being up top in the first place and running through, even though he missed, he's one-on-one with the goalkeeper. If he doesn't do that, Saka doesn't have his chance, let's be honest, to make it 1-0. And I just think, again, Kai just turns, again, big game, he turns up. I don't know about you guys, but I don't get this jumping on Kai's back monarchy, even when he gets a decent game. There's like the sly little passing digs at him, and I'm like, seriously?
I think Saka got him out of trouble. You don't get many chances against Liverpool. And if's a big word in life and football, but if Saka hadn't have been there, everyone had been throwing everything at Havertz. Because a centre-forward stroke footballer, if you like, should do better than that. He gave it wasn't a great save for the keeper. He hit it at the keeper. So I think he got out of jail there, or Saka got him out of jail. Yes, like someone said today, they said that when he plays at number nine, he's a nuisance for the other team. And someone said, but when he plays at number eight, he's a nuisance for us. I mean, that's what he's like. He's got to play up front because he cannot play that number eight role. And for me, I'm sorry to be a downer, but yeah, I want him to do well. He does little flicks, are very good. But I keep looking sometimes and thinking, where's your energy, mate? Lackadaisive, and it's not because, like, when Ozil was like that, you know, I'm not suggesting he's anything like that player, you know, Ozil was unbelievable on his day, but when Ozil was lackadaisive, he was that all the time, you knew he had something up his sleeve. He sometimes plays where he's lackadaisive, you know, he's got nothing, he's just the way he plays, there's nothing special about it. So, listen, I want him to do well when he might kick on, but he's played in this league for a few years now, and I want to see him like kick on now. He's had a few turn of corners, if you like, where he scored the first goal, was it against Bournemouth in a penalty, and then he's got another goal, and he did well away. Was it Luton? He got a win. Was it Bournemouth? He got the win. Was it Brentford? He got the winner, and then Brentford he got the winner, and then at Luton he scored again. This is another try, and then all of a sudden he goes back a little bit. Yes, he's not the strongest of players, but he seems to win the odd ball. But you know, even yesterday, when he got away from that Liverpool defender, when he was tackled and it may or may not have been a penalty, you'd have liked him to get away from that geezer so he had no chance to even get near him, and he didn't in the box. But listen, I'm sure that, you know, the manager knows what he's doing with him, so let's see what happens. But, I mean, as far as he did have a good game, but I expect a lot more. He did have a good game, but we expected a lot more from him and the rest of the players. Some of those performances were, I mean, Rice. No one's mentioned Rice because I don't think his performance has been great the last few games, but his levels have been so, so good. And yesterday was the first time I saw him play at the level that he started with us. When he first came in the team beginning of the season, he was unbelievable. He was everywhere, nicking every pass, getting the ball from every player. And all of a sudden, it stopped a little bit. He seems to have got his mojo back as well. But the only thing that worried me, and it may be just the players were mentally gone, is at the end of the game, I saw three or four of them just go flat on the pitch, like they've got no more energy. And I think the manager has got to, I know it's difficult, got to use his players sparingly, because we can't play with 13 men to the rest of the season. And that's without injuries.
No. And that's the thing. I'm kind of sick of talking about Partey, his injury situation this season.
You've got to take him out of the equation, I'm afraid.
You've got to take him out
of the equation. And if he plays, it's a bonus now. That's what we do.
He's got to that point now. I think late into the week when that news came out on Friday or Thursday when that came out, after our show, I'm just like, okay, if we ever do see him this season, as Melvin just said, it would be a bonus, but we've just got to figure out a system around where we're not going to, in the next 6 month plan, where he's not part of our plans really in terms of the backup, be our backup plans to accommodate that he's not reliable or available or whatever. Even that means going into the youth team and dipping into that in the remaining months ahead if necessary. But again, Declan, like you say, even though his performances had dipped off over Christmas, there was a level there. You could tell it's just flagging whatever. People need to remember as well that since Declan's coming from West Ham, again, the all due to West Ham, you're coming from a level of West Ham, where obviously it's above and beyond there, but above the levels of what they are. And he's coming to Arsenal, a new manager, new style of play, new demand of what he wants from his manager wants from him. And he's had to literally come in 3 weeks later, play at Wembley in the Community Shield, and then kick on for the rest of the season. And amongst all that, he's not had a solid, what would have been his solid midfield partner alongside him, which would have been probably Partey if he'd stayed fit. Jorginho's played, don't get me wrong, Jorginho's played a lot more than what he probably expected this season, but he's come in when apart from the North London derby at one moment, he's been on it as well. And Elneny's only not come back, but he's been out for AFCON. He's just come back from AFCON. So my point is that basically he's had to do most of the work, learning on the job and everything, and learning this new style of play and what his manager wants of him, whilst having no experienced player alongside him. When I say experienced player, I mean an experienced player of what Mikel demands, basically. So he's having to do all that, and there was always going to be a drop-off. It's just kind of the worst time for us as a whole. But the last couple of games, you're starting to get back to that. And I think yesterday, like you said, no one in an Arsenal shirt, that includes David Raya, I didn't have an issue with anyone yesterday. They all turned up. They all put a shift in. They all had contributed to what ended up getting us the 3 points. Yes, there's that little wobble at the end with Saliba and the miscommunication between Saliba and David Raya for the equaliser. But then they got themselves in at half-time, came out, soaked up the pressure for 10, 15 minutes, and then got themselves back into it. They rode the wave of what they created. We've seen it, again, with other squads in years gone by. That happens. We could other squads capitulate, basically, in an Arsenal shirt. And again, that's a mentality thing that has changed via Mikel. So we've got to give props to him as well. What I like more, because I watched Match of the Day last night, as people know in the group chat, I put Match of the Day and I thought, you know what, why not? I'm happy. I didn't bother, after I went into my stream, I didn't bother watching the Sky, because as soon as I heard Jamie Carragher give his digs whilst you're alive to Odegaard, we're going to come in a minute, by the way, I was like, no, I can't be bothered. I'm just going to go downstairs, do whatever. I'm not giving them the attention they want, basically, in that sense of getting that high taken away from me, basically. you know, he watched the match of the day, and the fair play to them. They gave us props. They didn't mention the celebrations. They nothing. That's the football. And I think it's Danny Murphy, and he's analysed and actually pointed out when, in terms of the build-up to the second goal, Martinelli still going for staying at that left-hand side, actually started coming into the middle, which then, doing that, made Van Dijk and Konate think again, basically, and keep them on their toes, because they don't then it's having him in between them instead of Havertz is a different kettle of fish. And as they found out with Gabriel's, by the way, fantastic ball from Gabriel, Van Dijk found out the hard way. And with that, Van Dijk and Anderson had an absolute howler. And Martinelli could have fluffed his lines there with an open goal, but calmly started it in 2-1, pandemonium. Got Dijk running down the wing, literally going mental, as you'd expect. Koga's having a meltdown in the co-coms. And the rest, as I say, is history. And then Trossard, I mean, and then everyone's got, I think myself, Gary was a bit like, it sort of expected it when we saw Trossard about to come on. And might never even want to be subbed off and all that, because we've got West Ham coming up and all that. But there's a few, as I say, myself and a few of people were like, he's just scored, he's picking up his form and all that. Da 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 da. Trossard comes on, and the turn he makes, I'm skipping all over the place here, but that turn he makes, makes himself run into space and get that goal. No, we haven't got another player like that, and I just loved it, the fact that he'd done that run. He could have cut back and played it off to a teammate, but he thought, no, I'm able to shot myself. Nutmeg the goalkeeper, and then took two steps in front of the North Bank, thank you very much. And again, Arteta's having an absolute kittens down in the stands, basically, nearly. That's been asked in the chat, by the way. I'll ask you both. What was, when it went to 2-1 and then 3-1 respectively, what was the atmosphere like in the end? Because obviously, Melvin, you've mentioned it already, like, this is a regular occurrence. This is not things we used to have once in the Blue Moon. Would you say this is on the Man City level from early on in the season, or just slightly just lowered in terms of how the atmosphere was in that game yesterday?
No, I think the atmosphere was superb from the start. I think there was obviously a bit of do you know what, right? We turned up there, right? And I think as Melvin said, when everyone went in at half time, I've never been so deflated when a goal's gone in. And you could feel that around the whole stadium, because we're literally dominating the half as such. Like, okay, we've not created loads and loads of chances, but we still created decent chances. And we'd gone in at half time, like sucker punched, and they were so lucky to even scored that goal when they did. And obviously, I think the first 5-10 minutes, second half, like people were still deflated by that. And then I think, as Melvin said, Liverpool come right out that first 5-10 minutes. You're sitting there thinking, whoa, do you know what I mean? But as the game started to go on into the second half, we started to grow back into it. Then we got the goal. Then I thought, for the last 20, 25 minutes, the atmosphere was absolutely superb again. And I thought the fans brought it yesterday. I thought they brought it. You always know right at the start. And I expected it, to be honest with you. It was a big game. Like, the fans have turned up at all the big games this season. We always seem to turn up. As I said before, like, the Emirates has never been great. If there's a 3 p.m. kickoff on a Saturday or 12:30 on a Saturday, it's a struggle. Every single time. If we get a big game at home on a Sunday, we turn up. And yeah, we turned up yesterday. But I was just going to go back onto one other thing that you was kind of discussing about in terms of Declan Rice. Like, totally agree. Him and Jorginho yesterday, absolutely superb. But that's what happens, Melvin, when you play two centre midfielders in centre midfielders roles. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what happens when you play a 6 and 8 in a 6 and 8 role and really not trying to play a number eight role. And I just think that we haven't done that enough this year. And I look at games like West Ham at home and I think, do you know what? If we'd had Jorginho in that game at the start, I think we'd have probably won that game. Do you know what I mean? I've just been, just play set the centre midfielders as a centre midfield role. If Partey's not fit at the moment, play Jorginho there. And just play Declan Rice in that number eight. for me, Jorginho was man of the match, but Declan Rice was literally, for me, not far behind. Like, literally not far behind whatsoever. I thought the two of them were absolutely a linchpin of that performance.
Yeah, true. So true.
Mm. Well, the fact that George, as I say, George, when it was announced, well, Jorginho got man of the match, me and going, like, you know what? Yeah, can't complain. It could have been anyone, but we're not going to complain because he put a shift in. It's like you say, as well, like, don't overcomplicate things and you get good results. The irony is, we got a good result yesterday because we didn't overcomplicate it. Or Mikel didn't anyway, playing buddy two number eights and this, that, and the other, trying to do it anyway. And
I was going to say, Declan Rice, like, I watch some games and I think, I don't know how you're doing that all on your own in there. Like, I think he's been unbelievable this season. I think when you look at the job that he's having to do, and he's got, and this is no offence to Odegaard, by the way, because Odegaard is a number 10, okay? But you're asking Odegaard in games to get in there as well, mix it in with Havertz, as they're basically two number 10s, do you know what I mean, playing in that role.
Yeah.
He's had to cover so much Declan Rice this year. Like, it's incredible his levels are where they are and his fitness levels are where they are because he's covered so much all season.
That's what I was basically getting on to earlier. Like, the fact that he hasn't had a solid midfield partner, like he was probably hoping for when he arrived. Mm. Yeah, he's been able to maintain these levels by barely a certain. Maintain these levels of consistency all season, barring a couple of games near the end of, near after Christmas, whatever. I mean, it's the game over there. That's cool. Whatever. It is what it is. But yeah, the fact that we've got the result, and we're all buzzing at home at the stadium. As I say, we were fearing for Uli and that North Bank, especially them two goals winning. Bloody hell. And the full time whistle goes, teams celebrating, high fiving each other and all that. Nothing over the top. And then Carragher takes a dig at Odegaard for taking a picture with an Arsenal fan and not just club legend in the sense of what he does for the club, but Stuart McFarlane, the club photographer. And I'm thinking, what the who are you playing at? Like, seriously, you could tell by what he was saying that the tone was through gritted teeth and bitterness because his team just lost. And this is where I dig out Sky because I'm sick of saying it. When you've got ex-players of certain clubs and their team's playing that weekend for that particular day, don't hire them because you're going to get the bias come racing. If their team loses, you're getting the bias come racing to the surface. It just makes them look like bitter, twisted little old men. And then with him doing what he did, he then gets abused online for what he's done in the past from a car after Manchester United v Liverpool. I want to give you worked out before. And I'm just, I don't know. It's probably just me. I'm just sick of us, our club getting berated for celebrating a win in any capacity nowadays. Even Richard Keyes has jumped back on us to that last night as well. Yet, when Klopp was doing it against Everton a couple of years back, it was okay. When he ran on the pitch, hugging Alisson and all that, that was okay. When Pep does it, it's okay. When De Zerbi does it for Brighton, it's okay. Nothing said of it. The fact that they brought in rules and the reasoning behind bringing in a certain rule was because of Arteta's behaviour last season. It just says it all. Like, we're held to a different account to everyone else. I don't mind. They want to come in.
Yeah. Well, I see a lot of the Carragher and a couple of the others. They haven't got a behaviour mirror in front of them. They don't see themselves. I laugh at them, and I don't mind them having a go at us because, unlike the time when Ferguson, all of a sudden was saying nice things about Wenger, you knew that we weren't a decent football team anymore.
Mm.
So I don't mind that at all. Let them have a go. I'm not getting too upset with it because I know if they're having a go, as we're doing something right and we're playing, you know, we're getting points. is when they stop having a go at us and feel sorry for us. That's when we should be worrying. I don't want that to happen anytime soon. No, I mean, they're just, I mean, Carragher, I mean, he hasn't behaved that well on the pitch, Highbury, when I was there when that happened, and other times as well. And he hasn't behaved that well off the pitch, as we all know. So he's talking about the way people should behave. I mean, in all fairness, I mean, in the heat of a game, you might do something that you might regret. Driving a car, or not even driving a car, sitting in a car and doing what he did, you're not under the same type of pressure, are you? So I think for him to talk about other people's behaviour, he ought to just have a little rethink, sit back and think about what he's saying, which, as I say, he hasn't got a mirror, a behaviour mirror. He just he's basically looking at everything through the wrong end of a telescope. So he's not a serious person, in my opinion.
No. What about you, Liam? Are you going to hold back or are you going to take him out, basically?
Jamie Carragher, Gary Neville, they're there for one reason only. They've got one objective only. And obviously, one of their clubs is down in the gutter at the moment, Manchester United, where Carragher turned up yesterday thinking that it was a foregone conclusion that Liverpool were going to win there. And obviously, Liverpool, he didn't expect the Liverpool performance he got. And he was obviously a little bit bitter after, a little bit angry, and that's happened, and it's obviously rubbed him up the wrong way. And I'm pretty much like Melvin. I think you're bang on there, mate. I think back in the day when, like, the Wenger years after we were challenging and we stopped challenging, people didn't talk about us. And we just went into the radar, didn't we? In terms of we've become a laughing stock, where now we're not a laughing stock. And you know when we're not a laughing stock, when everything we do is scrutinized. And I'm all for it, mate. I'm all for the likes of Carragher and Neville kind of bitching and whinging about us. And I just want to use that moment to then talk about Gary Neville's comments last night, and I'll bring it out again to you, Ryan. This guy said at the start of the season, he believes Arsenal are going to win the Premier League.
Yep.
He then come out after the Fulham game and said Arsenal are going to win the Premier League again. He then totally refers to his discussion. And as I said to you on the show the other week, in terms of Tottenham, he believes that Tottenham can finish above both Arsenal and Liverpool. And then last night, he suddenly comes out with that Arteta's obviously achieving the very maximum out of us. So he believes that us being in third place now is achieving the very maximum out of us. Like, wait, you're talking about these two guys. You can't take them seriously. They don't know what they're actually talking about half the time. It's just clickbait and bites and just trying to disgruntle us. And I honestly think it's to try and obviously derail us. I think that's their objective, is to try and derail us. And we just got to forget about them, really. And just concentrate on our own performances. Just take one game at a time, and hopefully at the end of the season we can do something special. And it'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? Because if we did do something special, whether it's this season, hopefully, or if it's next season, they're going to hate it. They're going to absolutely hate it.
Oh, mate, they're going to be spitting feathers. And the worst thing.
Don't say spitting. It's talking about Carragher. Don't say spitting. It's unfair.
Oh yeah. Maybe not. Especially if it's at the Emirates, that the celebrating's at the Emirates, and he's got to be on the pitch. So, and there's kids in the stands and all. He might get a bit carried away with himself. Fucking idiot. But everyone's going mental on the chat now. Oh dear. But I'm just sick of the same. It's the same faces. And it's like, seriously, have they got nothing better to do? It's like you say. It's because we're going where we're going and the direction we're going in. It's like suddenly we're relevant enough to take digs at, because they know they're going to get an online reaction one way or the other. I mean, I woke up this morning, Sky Sports making a segment over Jamie Carragher's comments. I'm like, but it's like, seriously.
Sky wouldn't do the same if it was Liverpool. In Liverpool, Manchester United, they would not do the same. And we're going on about Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher, but you've got to pretty much hold Sky accountable for a lot of this as well. They stir it all up in the background, Sky, without showing up.
They're a visual talk sport, aren't they? That's all they are, visual talk sport.
Do you know what the biggest joke is? I'll tell you what the biggest joke is. last night I come in and I thought, do you know what? I'll go and watch that last goal again because just wanted to see it. And then I see the studio after. And like you've got Roy Keane, Gary Neville, Jamie Carragher. And even if I'm being totally honest with you, Gail Clichy, is he really? No, he's not.
I'll get on to him in a minute. I've got something on him. I'm not happy about it, by the way.
I just sit there and think there's never, like, it's a big Arsenal-Liverpool game and they bring out all the same names. There's no one really, the Arsenal objective-driven there at that time. I'm not having it, Gail Clichy, whatsoever. In my opinion, he's not at that stature to be kind of obviously discussing us on in a big, big game like that.
No. Yeah, well, this is what I get on the Gail, because literally, we gave him a career. We put him from our academy. If it weren't for us and Arsene Wenger especially, he wouldn't have had a career in England, let alone a career full stop. Yet, and also Wenger was nice enough in that unbeaten season to give him enough games, so he got his winner's medal. So he got his first Premier League winner's medal at Arsenal. The way he spoke in that punditry yesterday, instead of Arsenal, he has no love for Arsenal. We kept him on. We stood by him for what, 4 or 5 years after Ashley left. Even though he's nowhere near the levels of Ashley. Yet he had the audacity yesterday to basically, it was like parting digs throughout his broadcast, and I'm just like, is this the best day? I'm sitting there. I mean, if you go back and watch the watch along, sorry, my mind went blank there. There's so many better options of ex-Arsenal pundits they could have picked. You could have gone for David Seaman, Tony Adams, could put Bergkamp over from Holland if he's over there.
Martin Keown,
Perry Groves, Sol Campbell. You could name an entire two squads worth of other players that would be a far better option than him. I mean, Theo Walcott was there yesterday. Nigel Winterburn's been mentioned in the chat by BX as well. And yet they went for the cheap option of bloody Gail Clichy.
It's a joke.
I mean,
it's our home game as well. Let's remember, it's our home game as well.
Who was at the stadium yesterday? It was Giroud. Oh, Flamini, they could have had. He was there as well. Flamini was at the stadium.
Giroud, Flamini, and Theo.
Yeah. What I was going to say about Clichy, I don't know if it came from Wenger or it came from Clichy, but evidently that was the one that really upset Wenger when he left. He had to sell loads of players, Wenger, but he thought that Clichy engineered his own move for no reason other than money, obviously. With the others, he could see why they want to go for money and it suited Arsenal to do it. But I think he was the most disappointed, one of the most disappointed transfers he did was Gail Clichy. He showed no loyalty, as you said, no loyalty. Yeah. Well, there's not a lot of loyalty in football, but he just, no respect, if you like. And as you say, without Wenger, he'd still be in the third, might be still in the French third division.
No, exactly. Look, Wenger didn't have to play him enough. Back in the day, it used to be like minimum 10 games before you got your medal. He didn't have to play him them 10 games. But he did.
Nope.
Gave him his medal, gave him that experience of winning something. And that is that. He's like, when the going got tough, he was out of there. He was like, bye-bye, see ya. And as you say, and people say in the chat, allegedly money talks. Well, with all teams go run it, come for him. And he goes, it was Man City around the time of Adebayor and all that. But hey, I digress on that, but I think it's a typical Sky going for the cheap option. It has no real affiliation to the club, even though what we've done for that person in their career, just because they know that he'll jump on the bandwagon if it goes down that route of attacking Arsenal.
I don't know why you watch Sky. I have to, because I very rarely. I used to listen to TalkSport years ago all the time. It was on, when I turned the car on, it was on. when whatever happened. It used to be always on. That was my go-to station. Don't bother anymore. What's the point? What's the point? They're not serious. It's a comedy program now. It's not a real program. It's comedy.
No, exactly. Again, my granddad used to listen to that years ago. And I think about 17, 18 years ago, I just stopped listening to it because this is like, you knew what was coming with that. Like, it was like attack, 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 and it was just the same rhetoric over and over again. I mean, the only time I gave that any sort of attention in the sense of watching clips was when they had Laura Wood, sorry, an Arsenal fan who didn't bend to that narrative, basically. But apart from that, I mean, today they're taking digs. It's just like Jim White's again. Jim, you're getting attacked when Jim White's in the middle going, bottlers. He can fuck off. Oh, made a career where, but you over wearing a gold tie for crying out loud. Greeny Mark's in the chat says other than Darren Bent, Wrighty and Martin Keown, the rest of the media are just a bunch of tossers, basically. Again, Perry Groves. I'll put Perry Groves. He is Arsenal to like. He will not budge off that. He appreciates what we did, what happened at the Cup and all. He doesn't forget, basically, like others do.
The guy that Sky do use, but never really that much about the Arsenal, is Kevin Campbell. He's excellent, Kevin Campbell. He really is good.
Yeah, and again,
they don't use him enough, in my opinion. But perhaps he's too pro Arsenal. I don't know.
But even like yesterday, Kevin Campbell, I know it was his birthday yesterday, so why would he want to spend it at Sky yesterday, to be fair? But Campbell, even Wrighty, like surely Roy Keane's got, like him and Wright Keane get on so well. Wrighty would have been superb on there yesterday, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Wrighty would have been superb on there. But maybe these people don't want to go on there. Maybe they're refusing to go on Sky. Maybe there's more to it than meets the eye with it. It's just... Gal Clichy is like digging the bottom of the barrel, isn't it? And it makes me think, is there more to it?
Yeah.
Well, it's just that narrative of, as I said before, that he'll jump because of the narrative they want to push. They know he could, because they know, they will know he doesn't have that affiliation, that deep, whatever reason, he doesn't have that emotional connection with the club, even though he gave him a career.
You know,
he'll jump on that narrative.
I watched a bit of... there was a thing on Twitter or something with Gal Clichy. That's how new he was on. I watched it somewhere. I can't remember. When I first saw who it was and he started to speak, I thought he was going to speak in a Mancunian accent. Not you know, the way he played for them for so long. People only remember him like as a Manchester City player. But anyway, he was at the right place at the right time to play for us. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Bear with me. I'm talking about Ian Wright. Obviously, post he put on Instagram initially now on Twitter. I'm going to put it up in a minute now for the listeners to listen to as well. This is what his reaction was, basically, to the whole Jamie Carragher and the media jumping on Mikel and the club's back, basically. Just bear me a second.
The negativity towards my manager, man. What has he done apart from celebrating a goal, celebrating his team, celebrating a team that is trying to beat these juggernauts, Liverpool and Man City? You know, and because he's celebrating, because Martin Odegaard's, we've taken a picture with Stuart, the photographer, a lifelong gunner. This man's been supporting Arsenal since he's, what, 5 or something ridiculous like that. Taking a picture in front of the North Bank. What's wrong with the captain doing that? It doesn't mean, it's got nothing to do with the fact just because we've beaten Liverpool. That's just an opportunity. Why are everybody trying to kill the joy? Don't kill the joy. There's so much of the season to go. As soon as Arsenal do anything, they just come under the pylon. It's like we can't have any joy. It's like England at a World Cup or a Euros. As soon as England start doing where everybody's jumping on them, it's like we're Arsenal. Arsenal, like it's the same thing that happened with Arsenal. Don't let them spoil the joy. Keep doing what you're doing. Whatever's going to be will be. Do not kill the joy. My manager, celebrate with passion like you do. Because that's what it's about, man. People are expecting us to bottle it and lose these games, and we're going through it. We're getting ourselves through injuries and everything. And the hatred is just so intense. Just leave us alone, man. You look to take the piss if it doesn't happen like you normally do. Leave us alone in the joy. Enjoy it, Arsenal fans. Enjoy our moments, because that's all this game is, moments. And we had one tonight. We beat the great Liverpool, who were top of the league. Up the Gunners.
I mean, that's pretty much says it all.
Honestly, it's absolutely superb, isn't it? But do you know what, right? He's bang on what he's saying. Like, we go to games all season long, yeah, right? We go to good games. We go to bang average games. We go to dreadful games. The dreadful games. We go home. We have long journeys home. You can be going home in the rain sometimes. You can be going home in the snow sometimes. You can be having an absolute awful day and evening. And do you know what? The next week is really hard. Like, you get up on a Monday morning, just lost a big game. You know what it's like. It's hard to motivate yourself at times. If we win a game against any big team, it doesn't matter if it's a Chelsea, a Liverpool, a Man United or Man City, whoever it is, I'm going to have a bloody good night out. I'm going to have a bloody good day out and night out. And it's exactly the same. Like, even if we go on a Saturday, a 12:30 game, I'll treat every game like it's my last. And if we win it, I'm going to enjoy it. If we lose it, then I'm not going to enjoy it. You got this narrative now that you shouldn't enjoy games. You shouldn't go out. You shouldn't enjoy them. Basically just go home. Oh, I've seen a game and that's it. And it's not all about the game. Sometimes it's about everything that goes on around it. And you have to enjoy these moments. You have to enjoy them. You never know what's around the corner, sadly. And I don't want to be Mr. Doom and Gloom, but you don't know what's around the corner. People have different kind of shit going on each week in their lives. This is a get out for people. This is an absolute get out for people, yeah, right? And us watching our team beat the league leaders 3-1 to keep ourselves in the title race. Do you know what? If he wants to take a picture of Stuart McFarland, he can take a fucking picture of Stuart McFarland. Do you know what I mean? It's not like he's breaking, causing war at the moment. He's just taking a picture of one guy who loves his football club. And do you know what makes me laugh, right? If it happened at Anfield, and if Mo Salah had done it to a player, there would have been no questions raised. There'd have been no discussion. It would have been, like, what a lovely gesture that is. But no, because he has to be bigger. And it's not any team. Do you know what I mean? Everyone goes to watch their football team to win, and you bloody enjoy it when you do win.
Yeah, it's a big thing. It is a big thing. I mean, just to break it down a little bit, Liam, you say make a day of it type of thing. I used to get to the ground half hour before and leave on the final whistle, basically. I don't do that now. I get there a bit earlier. Sometimes I go for a drink. I'm not a drinker, but I go for a drink before the game. I'm not a big drinker. I go for the whole atmosphere and everything and meeting a few faces that I know, people. And then, so I get there quite a bit earlier, and then I never leave until the players are off the field now. I just want to take it all in. Yeah. Because when it was the a couple of years ago with the old virus and all that, I missed it so much going to the football that I thought to myself, when it comes back, I'm going to make the most of it. And that's what I'm doing.
And totally right, mate. Do you know what I mean? Totally right. And I'm pretty much like you as well. I don't leave the ground now, like, till after the players are gone. And I'm totally like you. And I think there's thousands and thousands of the same. When we went through lockdown, people went through their own kind of circumstances and issues. And this is a breakout for people week in, week out. And it's not just us. It's literally thousands and thousands of clubs and teams. We go down to non-league level. Do you know what I mean? Even non-league level. People go, like, love their non-league clubs and everything, and you've got to enjoy it. You've got to enjoy it. I love it. I love match day. Honestly, there's nothing in my opinion that would beat it, apart from my son being born, than match day. That's it, mate. That's how much I fucking love it. Like, I'm getting emotional thinking about it, because it's everything for me, like, going to a game and all that. And if you're telling me, like, we can't over-celebrate when we win a big game, then there's no point turning up, is there? I want to see my players loving it and showing passion. They've just run 97.
We should have a new motto, Liam. We should have a new motto. Not Victoria. We should have it above, just above the one of the stands. Mind your own business.
We'll party all we want in it. At the West End, we did party all we want.
Just mind your own business. That's all we've got to put.
Mind your own business in the East End.
I'm going to put out Melbourne as well. I better put my wedding in there as the other occasion, just in case she sees it.
Exactly. Yeah.
obviously, that's well up there.
Oh dear. But yeah, before we move on, I'll touch on this as well. This is another thing that literally about a few hours ago we'll put out as well. This is Martin Odegaard after last night's game, been interviewed by Sky and all that, and them informing him of Carragher's comments after the game. I think again, I look at his body language, and I love the reaction from him as well, by the way. But I don't know, have you guys seen this yet or not?
No, I haven't seen it, no.
Seen it already, but you guys have already been criticised for potentially over celebrating a win. But can you over celebrate? Can you over celebrate in a game that, as we've just all said, is that important, isn't it?
I think everyone who loves football, who understands football, they know how much it means to win these games. And if you're not allowed to celebrate when you win a game, when you're allowed to celebrate, then I think we're happy with the win, and we'll stay humble and we keep working hard, and we're prepared for the next one now, but of course you have to be happy when you win.
Did you get any nice photos on Stuart's camera?
To be honest, I don't know. It was a bit blurry, I think. But but yeah, he's such a big Arsenal fan, such a big heart for the club. He's been here so long, and yeah, I thought it was a nice moment for him to get a good memory as well.
You've seen it already, but the...
He had to be careful what he said, didn't he? He had to be careful.
Yeah.
Didn't go in too hard. So I thought we got the level just about right. Made his kind of point without being nasty or overstepping the marks. That's fine, in my opinion.
I was just after as he's been told, and the word over celebrating comes out, his reaction obviously, that smirk of, really?
Yeah. Pathetic. You can see pathetic written across his forehead, didn't you?
It's like, okay, let's go into it now.
Just to put this out there, I remember that Neville Carragher celebrating Brentford's first ever win over us on the first game of the season.
The Friday night, yeah.
Yeah, he did a Friday night. That was okay, though, weren't it?
Yeah, with the old fans going, afterwards and all that. And
then
going, after got no direction there. They're going backwards there. They're worse than what they were before.
You got to remember as well, right, they heavily criticised us. Sometimes... absolutely bang on, rightly so. Like they went in heavy. Sometimes I thought it was overboard, but they went in heavy with us, and it's very much now. They've realised that we are up there competing, and it's not just one season now; it's two seasons, and they're probably sitting there worried because next year we're hoping that this summer we'll go out and buy what we need in terms of potentially a midfielder, striker, and we'll be even more of a threat next year, hopefully. So they're realising that we're not that team anymore where they can just basically mug us off. And sometimes it was uncomfortable. It was really uncomfortable. I remember the Carabao Cup final against Man City. It was awful, like the way we was getting ripped into. And we're not that team anymore, thankfully. But we know where we are. We know that none of us are sitting there thinking we're going to win the title. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm very much like... we're potentially in a title race, but do you know what? For me, we need to look ahead to next week, and we have to back it up at West Ham.
Yes,
that's what we need to do now. We have to back it up at West Ham.
I don't think we're in the title race. I think what it is, we've just bought a ticket. That's all it is at the moment.
Yeah.
We've bought a ticket in a raffle, and we've got a chance. That's all we've got.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't bet us at 50-50 or even 30% because there's three teams in it. But we've got a chance, and we've got every chance. And it's you know, I'm just going back to 4 years ago. I watched, as you say, Liam, City after 10 minutes just destroy us at the Emirates a couple of times, actually, two or three times. You're sitting there, you're going, what game are they playing and what are we doing? We shouldn't be on the same pitch. Have we got lead in our boots or something? What is going on? It's like two different things. It's ridiculous. If you'd have told me 4 years ago that at some stage we're not going to be better than them, but we're on the same level, nearly practically, then I'll go, you know what? No way. How can we be on the same level as this mob? And I know we spent a lot of money, but a lot of money needed to be spent, and we had dross. We couldn't rely on the current squad. Any of them, we had to start from scratch. So in that 4 years, to be even holding on to their shirt tails for me is a kind of a miracle, because I was sitting there in the Emirates thinking, what am I bothering for? I know I don't expect us to win the league, but I want us to compete even a couple of times a year with this team, and we can't get near them. we just can't get near them. But so all of a sudden, the wheel started to turn. We should have beaten them a couple of seasons ago at the Emirates, where we were denied. Who got sent off? Was it Gabriel got sent off? Didn't he? Did two stupid things, right? Xhaka gave away a penalty, which he made good. The Man City player, was it Silva or someone who like went over?
Yeah,
it was. Like whatever could go wrong, and we had that was one of our best performances against City. I thought, hold on a minute, we might have something here. And I know we got beat. I think in the last minute they beat us as well. Last kick of the game. And on paper, we got beat at home by City. Typical. No, it was a totally different game. We deserve to get something out of that game. At least a draw. I mean, never, because of certain situations. So I'm just think where we are at the moment is brilliant. I'm not going to settle for fourth. No, I want to go and try and do as best we can. But you've got to be realistic. We are lacking at the moment with injuries and the lack of a, what I would call a tip-top striker. We are lacking. But, where we are at the moment, it's fantastic.
But just going back to that Man City game you mentioned there, that was New Year's Day. I remember cards at that game as well with my brother. And up till then, that season had been, we were in the top four race. That was it, really. But going into that is Man City. So you're expecting Man City with their record at that time to come up. So they come down to us and put us to the sword, performance and everything. And the performance that day, I think that was, for me, that was the start of where we are now for me in terms of the belief this squad of players then took on from that game. Because even though we didn't get the result we wanted in the end for multiple reasons, referees, Stuart Outwell, dickhead, they gained something from it. They gained belief because they went toe-to-toe with Man City, the defending champions, to the point. And I think what the biggest takeaway from that day was when that full-time whistle went, the Man City players and their staff were running all over the pitch like they'd won the league that day. And I think that burnt a fire in the players that are still here now, and even then. And it's what we're at now is a continuation from that day. And we need to remember as well, that was a day we had no Mikel Arteta in the stadium because obviously he got COVID. He had to stay at home and do the game management and all that. So we have come a massive wrong way. Not even from that game, like looking back from when Arteta walked through the door. The fact that he walks through that door, and he's, like Kolasinac, Mustafi, I'm trying to think about Bert Leno. I'm trying to think now. Eddie are coming back from alone. Socrates, I can't remember his name now. When Matteo Guendouzi, players like that. Look at the squad he had basically, and you look at him now, leaps and bounds ahead. Mustafi, that's what I'm saying. Mustafi were leaps and bounds in terms of improvement on that side of things, and the performance it show it as well. Look at the mentality. I know he won an FA Cup with that squad that he inherited, but that is more the situation that we found ourselves in as a global side of things with the whole pandemic and all that. He just rode that wave, made the most of it. Like, is it not one-off games to see what happens sort of thing, whereas the league was what it was.
I must say, though, Ryan, sorry. I mean, he's done brilliantly four years ago, but he has made mistakes along the way.
Oh, yeah.
And I think some big ones. Let's not forget that. But after yesterday's result, you can't forget about the mistakes. Same as when we get beat, you can't forget about where he's brought us from. You've got to do a balancing act here. Next week, like you said, Liam, let's see how we do up against West Ham. They've beaten us twice this season, right? Yeah. At Upton Park, they murdered us. I know we had a slightly weakened team. And at the Emirates, they mugged us. Let's face it, they mugged us. Yeah. Right? So let's see how we do against... And also, the last game we played, I think we drew 2-0. We were 2-0 up, looking like 5-0. My friend who was watching it on the box texts me. He goes, if they score... No, he was there. He's like, it's a season holder, sorry. After when we got our second goal... He said, if Arsenal score again, he's a West Ham supporter, he said, I'm leaving the stadium. That's what it was like. We were murdering them. And then we only drew 2-2. that felt like a loss, didn't it, Liam? That felt like a loss. So I think that we've see how we've grown, or see how we've improved, see how we got the energy, see how we're more positive. You know, let's see how we've actually gone up a notch. I think we have slightly. Let's see if we can maintain that new level now. West Ham would be a very good guide.
Yeah. It's like you say, we do have to jump onto West Ham next weekend and put that wrong, not just from the cup, but also obviously just after Christmas and that. And again, it's a similar with the West Ham one coming up on Sunday. Sorry, and that's 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. But it's a similar situation going into that game as it was going into this game for me, in the sense of at home it was more of a we didn't take our chances at home. We took our chances, different game. If we approached that, used yesterday's result, but take that same approach we did yesterday into West Ham's game, I don't see it being a problem. I know it's a London derby and all that, but I think we can, if you go to my mindset, get over that line and right that wrong. And then after that, I look at the fixtures, and the other fixtures coming up after that, winnable games, home and away. Newcastle, what, ninth now in the league? Got Newcastle, got Burnley, Sheffield United. There's someone else amongst that as well. There's four games after next Sunday where you'd expect, no matter what, 12 points out of 12. So if we can get 15 out of 15, but obviously one game at a time. I'm just saying there's a good run coming forward, going ahead. You know, I know it's in between the Champions League, two-legged tie, but it's good. I think it's good timing for that. But we've got to capitalise. We cannot do what we've done in the past, have a massive win, and then the next game, screw it up.
The thing is that you can look at the next, I'm talking about any time, look at the next five games. And if you're playing well, they're the easiest games this side of the Mississippi. You can look at the same five teams. If you're not playing well, you're thinking, I don't fancy it. It's how we are playing. You've got to forget about the... I know certain teams are easier to beat because they may not even be their league standing. It may be the way they play football. You know, if they actually want to have a go at us, then we've got half a chance. But I think that you've just basically just got to worry about yourself. Yes, I'd like to play the team bottom of the league every week, but that's not going to happen, is it? But
it's that easy.
But West Ham, when we played them at home, from what I remember from the game, and I've only watched it once, thank God, I would never watch that again. I don't think we made that many what I would call clear-cut chances. Liam, do you remember that? I thought it was a load of half chances. They were blocking us as we were shooting. They were stifling us. They were mugging us. That's what I recall, but tell me, am I wrong?
No, they weren't. It weren't clear-cut chances that game. It was West Ham defended really well that game, but what we did was we allowed them to go 1-0 up, didn't we, and them to pole 11 men behind the ball. That's what we allowed them to do. And Sunday, I think Sunday's a really tricky game. It's a London derby. Like, for me, Declan Rice has to get the boys around him this week and go, look, boys, I can't be going back there and facing what I faced in the Carabao Cup and obviously then what I faced at the Emirates. It's now my time to go there and show what I'm made of. And it's a big game. It's a big game. I think this is a massive game in terms of our season at the moment. I think if we go and win the game, yet again, I think what it does is it establishes that we can be in a title race for a foreseeable amount of time. But if we go and beat Liverpool and then don't get the job done at West Ham, then I don't really see us being in that title race come April. I don't see it. And I think Newcastle's a tricky game as well. Like, that's an 8 o'clock on a Saturday night. Not a time, an ideal time for absolute anyone. And we can't underestimate Newcastle. We can't underestimate Newcastle. So I'm potentially pretty much in, like, take the one game at a time. Yeah, we know this team's got a capability of winning 5-6 games in a row. But this team's also got the capability of absolutely cocking it up. And like you said, Arteta's done really well yesterday with his tactics. But then there's been other games where we've been questioning certain things. And it's about now keeping them players fresh. And that he is going to have to rotate them as well. We can't just rely on the same 11 each week, or we're going to get to April again and it'd be the same old story. And hopefully we can get Partey back at some point. And I know I might be clutching at straws there, but if you can get Partey back in that team now, and then you get Timber coming back in that team, it might just give that team the extra push we need.
And Tommy. And Tommy, don't forget him.
Mate, he might play Sunday because that Kyrgios is an absolute fabulous player. And he may feel one Sunday, do you know what? Tommy would be better suited to Mark defending him than what Zinchenko would.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Russ says another banana skin. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it could be. As I say, it is a London derby, but I think that arms up yesterday, you know, their result. I mean, I don't know if their goalkeeper will be available, but a first choice anyway. You know, Fabianski will be in goal if he isn't available. But we just got to do what we did yesterday and just turn up and be clinical. We can be clinical and stop and don't be. And for me, the major issue for me against West Ham at home was we're so slow and passive. It was so easy to defend against. We weren't putting the pressure and speeding up the attacks at any point. So
there was a change yesterday. There was a difference. We never played that type of football yesterday. Was it because we are at it, or was it because Liverpool allowed us? Because Liverpool play a very open game, but they had 10 men again behind the ball at certain times, Liverpool. But for some reason, we moved it quicker. Did the shackles come off? I don't understand it. Did the shackles come off? What happened?
I think you got Rice in that number eight role, and he's more driven as well. I think there was more drive in there, mate, coming forward. Yeah. He wasn't a total Beale Rendell, but there's more drive in there. And do you know what? I feel Odegaard feels much more comfortable with someone like Jorginho and Rice sitting in that midfield so he can do what he can do. I just think that I think Rice, we need to, from till now to the end of the season, play at number eight and just play the defensive midfielder in there.
Odegaard couldn't pick his feet up for the last 10 minutes. Did you see that? Notice that, Odegaard.
I was even thinking, mate, like with about just before we scored the third, I was thinking, mate, I might even bring Elneny on for the last 5-6 minutes.
Yeah.
You know he can press the hell out of players. Yeah. But we didn't need to go down that road in the end. But I Declan Rice, number eight for me, mate, and just play. If Partey's not fit at the moment, I would just personally continue with Jorginho. He's a leader as well, isn't he?
Yeah, very clever footballer. Yeah. Very clever.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no, as I say, there's no one stood out in a bad sense. Just everyone turned up. We got the result. That's the main thing at the end of the day. We got the result with 2 points off of top, along with that team in Manchester, 1-1-5, as I call them. We have to buckle down and get our heads and sort of preparing. I've got, what was it, another 7 days? Was it 6 days from now? Obviously, being now in West Ham. Another thing I noticed, I didn't notice at first, but obviously watching all the clips back over and over again. No, Odegaard on his shirt, like the little tab bit where it's meant to have the record, the unbeaten record at the bottom, was ripped off him. It was like literally dangling like halfway down his backside, basically between his legs. So it shows how much graft he was putting in. If someone's pulling at his shirt and that's coming off. Because they're sewn on properly. But this is the thing of Arteta. Arteta needs to stop overcomplicating it. Unless there's an injury or a slight knock, just keep it as it is. We've got Elneny back now. So if Jorginho's not available next week for whatever reason, Elneny is the viable replacement there, because they're similar players in that sense, in terms of what you need of them and all that. You can still play the two centre midfielders in the midfield role instead of putting two number eights, because it doesn't work. Putting Havertz and Odegaard alongside Declan, putting everything on Declan, it doesn't work all the time.
As a midfielder goes, Havertz is what I call what's the expression? I can't think of the expression, but he's a player that, I wish I got the comfort. Carry on, I'll get it later.
Yeah, do you know what though? What you're saying about Havertz, right? We'd bought Havertz. I think Havertz is the kind of player, if you've got a whole team around you, then I reckon a Havertz signing a season or two later, and if we'd got the striker like last year, we've got Havertz probably next year, I think then he would have had a much, much bigger impact within our team. I think if we'd have had, like, take for example, like, I don't know, let's just say an Osherman, that kind of style player, and then you had Havertz in his role, it'd be a totally different story, because we could go direct, we could bully teams, but we could also obviously do what we kind of do in terms of the way we play. I just think Havertz was a good signing at the wrong time.
Now, what I meant to say is type of a luxury player in midfield, Havertz.
Yeah.
He's a luxury player. And you're asking Rice to do too much in midfield if you've got a luxury player next to him. Sorry. That's what I meant.
You're totally right, mate. You're totally right. Like, Declan Rice has literally run his socks off this year.
Yeah.
And I find it uncomfortable in games that the amount he's having to do. And it's just nice for him to have us another. I'm not saying Jorginho is the be all end all and is going to be the piece going forward, because he isn't. But you can see if we got that piece, like if we had a party in that team, how much more effective that midfield would be. And we go to the games, it's very pedestrian at times, very slow. We're playing sideways, we're playing backwards. And there's no drive. But yesterday, like you said, there was a total different kind of feeling and there was a drive. And I think the fans fed off it as well, mate. The fans fed off it as well. And I think it's either way sometimes. Sometimes the team needs to do more, but also the fans need to do more at times as well.
Definitely. Well, but we're not. Anyway, let's enjoy it. It's been brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Let the angry get angrier about us. That's all I'm saying.
I do that well, mate.
Yeah, Smith Rowe wasn't played yesterday or brought on. But anyway, yeah, what do I know? I was upset he brought Trossard on for Martinelli. I couldn't believe it. Shows you what I know. I was going, what's he done that
you
for?
3-1. You weren't the only one, Mel. Me and Gary, you're thinking, what the fuck?
He was unfortunate, weren't he? Yeah. That Liverpool was the next game after Forest. I think many other games, Smith Rowe would have started again.
Yes, probably right.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I wouldn't mind seeing him start on Saturday or Sunday, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
somewhere. But we'll see. Anyway, we won't know till an hour before kickoff, 1 o'clock. We'll find out the team and take it from there.
Go, as I say, it's all about rotation. There's Champions League coming up, so we've got to see more Smith Rowe than you've. People think because obviously there's Champions League
back, so you better rotate, otherwise we'll be in a mess.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, next week, isn't it? Yeah, next week, isn't it? Champions League, first leg away. Double check,
have a look.
What's the
next week?
It's the week after,
yeah, one of the two. We're split in half,
it's the week before Newcastle, so we play Burnley, then we go to Porto.
Oh, let's have a double check. Bloody pop ups, I hate.
21st, play Porto the 21st.
What's that, a Tuesday?
That's a Wednesday. 21st
Wednesday. Wednesday 21st at 8 o'clock for the away leg. And the second leg is a Tuesday.
In March, isn't it?
12th of March.
Yeah, at 8 o'clock. And that's why the squad's going to be, we've got to rotate.
Yeah. No, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. We're going to see a more Smith Rowe going forward because the games are going to be picking fast. And it's Champions League back. They've got West Ham, Burnley. I think you'll get, if he doesn't start against West Ham, I think Ben had a game to go in. We'll definitely see him at some point. If he goes, we're 2-3 and up, we'll see him get what we did the other day, 20 minutes, 15 minute run out there. Burnley, I think he might even get a start against Burnley because Burnley's Burnley.
Yeah, they're a pretty nice team at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, and obviously Porto, and depending on how he does on that,
he might get that
at Porto, and then obviously Newcastle from there, and then Sheffield United. Again, probably start against Sheffield United because it's Sheffield United. Brentford fighting for their lives, probably from the bench, maybe, and then depending on how the first leg's gone, Porto, and then you got Chelsea, and then obviously Man City at the Etihad. Oh dear, that's the other games between now and then. Yeah, for the quarterfinals, we assume we're going to get to the Champions League. So, yeah.
Oh, loads to look forward to.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Loads of money to spend as well, sadly.
Loads of plenty of away games for you to come on and scream at the TV screen what you're doing. the PZ. That was the PZ version.
Well, I'm not sure where I'm going to be in March because she's pretty much. I think she'll be due mid March.
Yeah, so we'll play that between now.
Is that
now,
your second or third?
Second and last. I just want to put it out there. Second and last.
I saw you were going to the other one.
You're going to love this, Melvin. He's actually due on North London Derby Day.
Oh, my God. I've got one for you. Listen to this. You know my son, Jerome, didn't you, Ryan?
Yeah.
He had his first kid 6 weeks ago. Name? Mikel. And I didn't know anything about it. And it wasn't him. It was his missus.
Brilliant, even better then.
Yeah, it's the missus, like the name. Oh, I like that. She saw the Arsenal thing on Amazon, right, a couple of years ago, and she was impressed by our manager, and then she wanted to call the baby Michael, and Jerome goes, no, I don't fancy that. No, but what about Mikel? She goes, oh, all right then.
Hey, that's brilliant, isn't it? She won't have it, mate. She won't have it. I've tried a few names. She won't have it.
Well, I've told this one to Ryan before. I don't know if I bore him with it, but I will again. When my Jerome was born, right before he was born, she said to me, the missus, you're not going to call him Liam, all right? Liam Brady, right?
Obviously, yeah, right? That's who I'm named after, funny enough.
All right. He says, you're not going to call him Liam. I go, all right, then. I thought, I'll never get away with it. No way. There's no way, right? Anyway. I gave him. So what about a second name when he was born? Oh yeah, Jerome. Said Alex. Oh, that's a nice name. I'll go for Alex, right? About 3 or 4 years later, my dad bought me a book, The Life Story of Alex James, and I said to Jerome about 4 or 5 at the time. I went, that is one of the best players ever play for the Arsenal. And my wife goes, that's not why we called him Alex. I went, no, of course not.
Sussed you out there, didn't you?
It's too late now.
It's bad enough to lift it to Arsenal. They're probably day in, day out. We didn't even name our sons after players.
Yeah.
I mean, you got your ones. Bobby's on a technicality of Robert
Perez. Yeah, she won't have it, but I'm claiming it. I'm not allowed to deliver the second one's name yet, but I've.
Is it Arsenal related?
It could be Arsenal related. It could be a little nickname Arsenal related is. But yeah, we have to wait till he's born for that one.
Yeah.
Good. No worries. Worth the wait. Either way, when obviously it happens and we all told and she's back in the background causing aggro for us all.
All the photograph keeps smiling all the time, wasn't it? It was like, whatever post you did, he was smiling.
he don't stop smiling, that kid, honestly. He's like, he ain't like me. I don't know who takes it after.
Smiling the whole time, amazing.
Yeah, he's a good, honestly, I'm so lucky of him, so lucky, but I probably won't be saying that with the next one.
You say this, and then about a year and a half later, maybe number 3 will be on your way.
There ain't no more, mate. That's it. Game over.
By television, mate.
I'm too old.
Getting the old iPads and getting the Arsenal memberships in early as well.
Wait, that's the other thing, isn't it? It's going to become even more expensive for me in about 5 years' time. Very expensive. We know how much it costs already, just for us alone.
Yeah.
Wait till you have to pay for the season ticket to go with him. Like for him to go with you and all that, or them to go with you as they get older, you'll be like, What have I done?
Mate, to be fair to him, she said to me yesterday, just a quick one, she said, I've got him right on the North London Forever song. And she said to me, she went to her dad's yesterday and he put the game on and he was out in the kitchen. He heard the North London Forever song and he ran literally up to the TV and watched it, then clapped it at the end.
No.
Yeah. Brilliant. He's so good, mate. He claps it every single time.
Next time, we've got to get recording of him doing that.
I'll send it over to you. I've got it. I'll send it over to you. You can see it.
With your permission, we'll use that every watch along, home watch along, not the furthest on. See, Bob, just funny.
I'll whack it in our chat. I'll whack it in after that.
Yeah. Well, just before we go, we've got one question from Mr. Negative, AFC always. I see you, by the way, Mr. Basically, this is a in another chat, he's like, I see you, Ryan, I see you so and so, because we're trying to be as positive as possible in terms of we're not jumping on Mikel's back and this, that, and the other. This one, just boom.
I got one. No, it's not one, because how long have United waited to win either? How many years have they not won it? In the next, they haven't won it in 5 years.
The Champions League, they haven't won since 2014. Is that the 10 years this week? 10 years, 10 years in May.
League title, probably about the same, is it?
League titles in 2014. That was when Sir Alex retired. They haven't won one since. That's 10 years. This may come in.
Right. How long ago Chelsea? Have Chelsea won the league in the last 5 years?
2017. Conte.
No, the answer is
18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23.
Man United, City. The only teams that have won it is Liverpool, Man City. So it's tough. It's tough to do it. It ain't easy. It's not everyone's had a chance.
Six out of the last seven have been Man City. The other one was Liverpool, and before that was 2016.
Leicester,
2016. Yeah.
You basically got hit over 95 points to win it as well. You look at Liverpool, mate. Klopp's won it once. He's won it once, and that was basically Man City on a bad season. That was basically, he won it on Man City on a bad season, we're being totally honest. If Man City didn't have a bad season, I don't think Liverpool would have won it again. You've got to have at least hit over 95 points.
Also, in terms of his question about 2019, you've got to remember, halfway through a season, when the season was pretty much done anyway that year, when he came in.
And look what squad we had.
And he still won an FA Cup, by the way. Let's not forget that.
You had a shocking squad. That wasn't good. It wasn't.
Yeah.
It
was horrible. Yeah. I know. That's my point. So if we can do that with that squad.
Shocking.
Give him time. It's coming. Trust me. One way or the other, we're going to win something if it kills us, this squad. Too much. The owners now, there's too much investment in this current squad for the owners to accept anything than not winning trophies. If they don't accept, they accept not winning trophies, that's on them. Because financially, they make losses when it comes to selling on players. And then you've got sponsorship deals and all this. And it makes Richard Garlick, who makes his job even harder come the summer, because now he's taking over from Vinay. Oh, dear. But with that, we are out of here. Oh, what now? Hour and 22 minutes. We've been going near 23, hour and 23 nearly. Thanks to Melvin. And I know it's been a late one this week compared to usual, but thanks to Melvin and Liam. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me on, Ryan. Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
It's been a while, Melvin. So yeah, I wanted to get you on, especially why not?
Look at that.
The full Melvin. Yeah,
I love that.
Just for context, for people who are new to the channel and probably still watching and behaving themselves, this is how it all came about back in the day.
That started.
Who did we beat that day?
No, it wasn't. We were at a quiz. I got a question right.
got a 5-point answer, and that was it. Top was off.
Even better.
Oh dear, we're just waiting for the day he wins one. And what's going to do? He wins it.
I won't be celebrating. I'm not allowed to. All right.
No, you can't celebrate.
Yeah. Also, don't forget you can't have your cameras either. Can't use your cameras. Can't take photos and embrace the moment. God forbid. If you want to run on a pitch and hug your goalkeeper or go way 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 to the crowd, that's okay. Or if you want to run into the crowd, that's okay. Or if you want to run down the tunnel, run down the touchline and knee slide, that's okay. As long as you're not an Arsenal manager or player, you're cool. Freaking idiots. But with that, as I say, we are out. I mean, thanks to everyone in the chat, by the way. All the familiar faces popping in, supporting the channel and all that. The audio for this is going to be up in the next half hour, so keep an eye out for that. If you've missed any of this, you want to listen to it back on the go, it'll be up on Spotify and all the other audio platforms as well. Google, Apple Podcast, you name it, it's going to be up there. So keep an eye out for that. And yeah, with that, we are out of here. We will see you tomorrow for Tom's special watch along, because it's Leeds special teams playing Leeds in the FA Cup.
Is it on telly, is it?
BBC. So Liam, if you're around, you're more than welcome to come and tease Tom all you want.
I'll see what's going around the house. I'll see what's happening around the house tomorrow night.
If we can even try and get the Plymouth fans we know on. G and Brooks.
Yeah. That's so definitely an interesting invite.
Me and you have the popcorn and I have them three or two of them piling on Tom and him trying to.
It won't beat the Ipswich Maidstone. That's all I'm going to say to you, Stefan. No. Brilliant, though.
No. Oh, dear. So we've got that. We've got the girls on Wednesday in the County Cup quarter final against London City Lionesses. I think it's away. Either way, we're doing that on Wednesday. We've got Ange's All Arsenal show on Thursday, whereas it's mainly focused on the women's team. Obviously, what happened yesterday, fucking disaster there. Hopefully, we bounce back on Wednesday, so we'll be revisiting that as well. And looking forward to the Man City FA Cup game on Sunday, early kickoff. Friday, no shows at all. That's the day off. That's a day off day, basically, so far this season. That's been our day off day, and there's an Arsenal playing. Saturday's match of the day. Aside from that, that's it. And then Sunday, two Arsenal games in one stream again because they're back to fit the timing clash again, like it was the other week. So yeah, busy week for me. No rest of the week. God's sake, what do I do this for? Oh dear. And with that, we are out of here. Take care, guys. As always, up the
Arsenal. See you, Liam.
Yeah, Mel. Yeah, Ryan.
See ya.
Yeah, boys.